Coming up on KUCB News, the Unalaska Raiders are off to regions, and Trident is answering for a fire as well as a blanket of dangerous goo. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, March 8, 2018. After missing its third deadline in as many weeks, GCI has postponed the launch of Unalaska's 4G LTE service indefinitely. GCI's Dan Boyette says technicians are still completing the final tasks required to turn up the new network, which was scheduled to go live Monday. In an email to KUCB, Boyette wrote, quote, "I've given you specific dates before, but we've always missed them, so I'm not going to insult you with a date again." GCI first promised a faster and more reliable mobile network, including data, by the end of 2017, but Boyette says construction snags and testing have delayed the launch again and again. Now he says the company has two technicians working on the island who won't leave until the project is finished. Unalaska's school board meets tonight. At their regular session, board members are expected to vote on the 2019 budget plan for the Unalaska City School District. The $7.7 million proposal pays for two new teaching positions to keep up with growing enrollment, but it also forces board members to cover a $210,000 budget gap, either by cutting programs or dipping into savings. The school board meets tonight at 7 o'clock at the high school library. Trident Seafoods will pay $300,000 in a settlement with the federal government for Clean Water Act violations at its plants in Sandpoint and Wrangell. In both locations, the fines are the result of Trident discharging more fish waste than legally allowed. Bill Dunbar is a spokesperson for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and in Sandpoint, he says Trident will have to remove about 3.5 acres of waste from the seafloor near their plant.
These are enormous numbers of fish that are being processed in one place. So all of that fish waste gets deposited in enormous volume in essentially still water. The currents don't take that fish waste away. That waste tends to pile up on the seafloor.
Dunbar says those piles have created a gelatinous goo that carpets the seafloor, killing anything underneath it, and it's been around for a while. Trident attorney Joe Plesha says the pile is left over from cod processing that took place between 1987 and 1994. He says he told the EPA about the fish waste around the time of a 2011 settlement.
I actually left it up to them. I said, if you want us to remediate this pile, we of course will. But for reasons I'm not really certain of, they never brought it up again, and I candidly didn't remind them. So it wasn't part of that 2011 consent decree.
Trident paid a $2.5 million fine to settle that 2011 case, and they committed to spending $40 million to prevent future Clean Water Act violations. Dunbar agrees these violations are very similar, and they could have been lumped in with the 2011 settlement.
For reasons I can't explain to you, they weren't.
Plesha says he's confident this type of violation won't happen again because Trident has built a meal plant in Sandpoint. All the waste is screened, so he says large pieces can't be released. The company has also agreed to limit the amount of fish waste discharged in Wrangell. Meanwhile, Trident's Akatan plant had a fire late last month that consumed 25 acres of tundra. The company did not report the fire to the community, but Plesha stresses that that was a mistake.
The plant manager was busy making sure that the people were notified to get out of the bunkhouses and so forth and so on. So he should have, but he didn't contact the VSPO in Akutan.
Plesha says the plant manager has since apologized. Trident is still investigating the incident, but Plesha says they believe a spark from a burn pill caused the fire. The plant was not damaged and no one was injured. Norwegian musher Jor Leifseth Olsom is into the historic abandoned town of Iditarod, a checkpoint that marks the halfway through the 1,000-mile race. Olsom arrived around 8:30 last night with all 16 dogs in harness, winning the Dorothy G. Page Halfway Award and $3,000 in gold nuggets. Now he appears to be taking his mandatory 24-hour layover. Back up the trail, though, defending champ Mitch Seavey was the first to complete his 24, and he left Tekatna a little before midnight. Where to take a 24 is key to Musher's strategies, and APRN Zachariah Hughes took a look at two very different options to find out what they're weighing when they opt to sit still for an entire day.
Generally, the most popular checkpoint to 24 is Tekatna, renowned for its hospitality, comfortable accommodations, and pies. It's also extremely well set up for a long-term stay, with dog teams parked up and down a roomy hillside that's out of the way of foot traffic and snow machines. Linwood Fiedler says it's just more comfortable than the other options up or down the trail.
Well, you certainly get better fed here. You don't have to make your own food, which is nice, and the community is so supportive here. Water's for your dogs is so easy, and so there's a lot of creature comforts here.
There's also a decent setup for sleeping in the community's small church, some of the first real rest in days for many racers. Tekatna is also well-positioned strategically. For mushers planning out moves 3 and 4 steps ahead, like Cody Straith, the town is an excellent launching point for the austere runs on the way to the Yukon River.
Right when you leave here, it's precisely 100 miles to Iditarod, so that's a good distance to split in half for your first start. You don't want to start with mega runs, you do 250-mile runs. Conveniently, there's a shelter cabin 50 miles in, so you don't even have to sleep on the ground. So once you get to Iditarod, it's roughly another 50 miles to Shagaluk and so on. It kind of sets you up perfectly for getting out here if you were to stay.
And there's camaraderie in Tekatna. Mushers sit shoulder to shoulder with one another at a table in the bustling community center where hot meals are dished out. Straith says that mentally, there's just a little boost from getting to talk with other mushers and comparing notes.
It's nice to have a couple conversations and see that other people are going through the same things.
Tekatna is really easy and comfortable, but it's just really busy. So it just seems like the dogs rest better here because there's not so many people.
Anna Barrington made it to Ofer before declaring her 24. And even though it's only about 24 miles away, compared to Tekatna, it feels like a semi-abandoned wilderness outpost, which it sort of is. There's a small hunting cabin surrounded by some outbuildings. Nobody lives in Ofer. It's more like a landmark than a town. Mushers can sleep in a wall tent, or if you're Martin Boozer, you've got a backup strategy.
I have my tent with me too. If it gets crowded, I'll just whip out my tent and call it a privacy trip.
Boozer is mixing up a meal for his team, dropping chunks of frozen pre-cut meat into a bucket with kibble. Even though there are some snow machines zooming by and the whir of a pesky drone as it buzzes overhead, he's made Ofer a frequent destination for his 24 because of the quiet. He says it makes better rest for dogs, and while it's nice being fed, his wife packs him plenty of high-quality trail meals that he prefers to make on his own.
Shrimp, steak, peas, corn, poppy seed muffins. I have a little bit of everything in every checkpoint.
As for the other creature comforts he's forgoing in Ofer, Boozer says he thought that was the whole point of the Iditarod.
Well, it's a dog race, you know, it's not. I guess that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what I expected to do when I started the race. So.
Once mushers come off their 24s, they have another mandatory rest for 8 hours they can take at any checkpoint along the Yukon, and another one in White Mountain, 77 miles from Nome. In Ofer and Tekatna, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
And in other sporting news, the Unalaska Raiders are back in action tomorrow as they begin their bids for state. Both the boys and girls basketball teams are entering the 2A regional tournament as top seeds, with byes in the first round.
We're fairly deep. They have pretty lofty goals.
That's boys coach Kent Russell, whose team went 14-1 in the regular season. After dropping to 5th in last year's state tournament, he says the Raiders are looking for redemption.
some of the boys feel like last year they didn't quite achieve what they wanted, and so some are a little more motivated to try to get back to the state tournament and then make a run once we get there.
The girls' squad has similar motivation. Last year, Coach Casey Clausius says his team missed a state berth by just a few points.
You know, we were that close. You could taste it. We were that close from getting our state appearance, which we haven't done in quite a long time.
Clausius says the Raiders have trained hard to put themselves in a position to break that streak. This year, they posted a regular season record of 10-5.
We're investing our time. I think we could have a chance at possibly doing a little more damage.
The Raider boys play first tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, followed by the girls at 7:30. Both teams will take on either Bristol Bay or Dillingham, depending on who wins tonight. Each Raiders team can clinch a state berth with a single victory, but if they do post a loss, they'll have a second chance to qualify on Saturday night. Tune in to 89.7 FM as KUCB will bring you the live call from Anchorage. Once again, the boys' basketball team plays first tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, followed by the girls at 7:30. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.